In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And sign linemen, like, you can go and get players.
Well, they got, what, a 5-star freshman at left tackle that they were able to get. I thought they did a better job this portal go-around than last portal go-around, but
how does this end?
I don't know. Because this weekend, I was telling you before the show, I love the situational angle for Colorado State this weekend because preseason. Because I knew that, I didn't know they would lose week two at Nebraska, but I had a feeling they would lose. I thought it would be a physical game. And Colorado State played Northern Colorado in week two and was able to get the win in a clear look ahead spot there. First time Colorado State's hosting Colorado on campus since 1996. Games on primetime, CBS. Like, all of these things are headed that way. But now it feels like everybody is out on Colorado. And I'm like, damn, that stinks.
Yeah, and it's almost like I think Deion had planned. And like, this is the thing. Like, I know the when you look at their season last year, if they hold on to beat Stanford, and then they had a couple of other like one score games that they could have easily flipped. If they go 6-6, I mean, that was an unbelievable coaching job considering how bad the roster was. I think probably the plan was, all right, we'll win 5-6 games year one, and then we're going to parlay that into, you know, 8-4 or something this year. But I mean, is there any way Deion is back without Travis and Shador?
I don't see how he is. I don't think he would want to be there.
Like, what is that team without those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders, more so Hunter than Sanders, are bona fide top 10 picks. Hunter's a top 10 pick. Shador, probably, because he's a good quarterback.
I mean, Michael, if Bo Nix can go in the first round, Shador Sanders can easily go. Because I know that if you gave me Shador or Bo, I know I'm taking 10 times out of 10.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. And there are good playmakers. Like, Jimmy Horn Jr. is pretty good. Yeah. LaJonte Webster is pretty good. I mean, he's hurt now. Dallas Hayden, the running back, the guy from Ohio State. Like, they got some decent skill position players. But, yeah, I mean, that team is it back to what they were 2 years ago? You know, I was asked a question the other day, is Colorado regretting the decision to hire Deion? And I think absolutely not.
Yeah, see, this is the other side of the equation for me.
Colorado has been the talk of the sport for basically 2 years.
Well, on top of that, look at how many people are still in the stands.
Right. I mean, Colorado, and, you know, my good friend was the interim head coach prior to Coach Prime getting the gig. But they were the worst Power 5 program. They were 1-11. They were getting annihilated in 2022. Go look at their scores. Annihilated by everybody. I mean, it was embarrassing. So he comes in week one. They beat TCU as a 21-point underdog. They beat Nebraska. They beat Colorado State. College game day is there. So even if this is a 2-year stint, I'm sure they envisioned a bowl game in their future, which I guess still could get there. I mean, look, they lost to Nebraska 28-10. They were a 7-point underdog. It wasn't like they were supposed to beat Nebraska. Nebraska's good. Nebraska, by the way, look at their schedule. They should be undefeated going into an October showdown at the Horseshoe against Ohio State.
Well, I mean, like, this is the other thing. It's like, okay, Colorado's going to be, what, a 9-point favorite this week?
It's down to 7.
Okay, whatever. There's
but,
still,
yeah, they're a touchdown favorite.
Right. And as you and I have talked about, like, Colorado State might, like, be bad. All right.
Yeah.
Baylor looks like Baylor's going to be in a coaching search. All right. So that's 3-1.
Not so convinced on Baylor. It's one of those things where it's like, I mean, Baylor covered against Utah last week, and one of the scores.
Yeah,
was
but didn't Cam get hurt in the first half?
Is Shador going to be healthy? Like by the time we get there, I mean, I'll say this about Shador:
I don't think Colorado State can rough up Shador.
They roughed up Travis Hunter last year.
Yeah, but that was dirty, and that was like on the sideline. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this weekend's game because Colorado State has not looked good, but neither has Colorado.
And then on top of that, you've also got, all right, at UCF, Kansas State's a loss. I don't know what Arizona...
At UCF, they're not beating UCF.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a loss. I don't know what Arizona is.
We'll find out on Friday night.
Cincinnati at home.
They could win that one.
Yep, and here's another one they can win that I don't think maybe we were as high on early. What is Texas Tech?
They got smashed on Saturday.
And it wasn't even close.
They got smoked by Washington State. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, Joey McGuire, you know, he had the momentum going. I did their bowl game last year down in Shreveport, and, you know, they've got a really good running back in Taj Brooks, and I thought they were going to be kind of a sneaky, decent team in the Big 12, and so far, yeah, that is not the case. And I'll tell you what, from a betting standpoint, money's coming in on the Mean Green this weekend as that thing's down to around 9.5, was up around 11, 12 earlier in the week.
All right, so who are you voting for Dumpster Fire of the Week?
I'll go since, you know, we live, since this show's on in the land of G5 and the hope of Memphis making the college football playoff, I'm going to go Tony Sanchez, the head coach of New Mexico State. New Mexico State, for those who did not stay up late, I'm sure none of you watched it, but the reason I bring it up, because as Memphis makes this journey, hopefully to the New Year's Six, you need a little help along the way. And one of the teams that has the easiest schedule in the country is Liberty.
Uh-huh.
Liberty was a 22-point underdog at New Mexico
State. Favorite.
Sorry. Yes, 22-point favorite in Las Cruces against New Mexico State. And New Mexico State was winning the bulk of this game. There was 3 minutes to go, ladies and gentlemen. New Mexico State's at the Liberty 46, facing a 4th-and-3. Tony Sanchez, all right, send out the punt team. They punt it. Liberty 7 plays, 90 yards, touchdown. They get that first. Maybe they win the game. Maybe they salt it away. So for Memphis's sake, that was a not ideal result, seeing Liberty win that game. Now, it might scream that Liberty has issues, which is totally fair, and they've got a couple of non-con games coming up in the near future against like East Carolina and App State, which could be tricky for them, but what are you doing, man? You're a 22-point underdog. Go for it. 4th-and-3 from there, 46.
And you're year one.
Dude, no one's going to fault you if you don't get that. You punted the ball away. So that's my... I mean, the obvious answer for Dumpster Fire of the Week's Notre Dame, the honorable mention for me would be Tony Sanchez, the head coach of New Mexico State.
All right. Who was your Week 2 Heisman winner?
I'll keep it easy, man. I think it's Quinn Ewers.
The only other answer I would accept is Ashton Jante again was just phenomenal.
He was so good.
He broke a couple of homers. Madsen's a problem at quarterback.
Yep.
And I don't mean that in a good way. All right, you mentioned your most college football moment. I'm going to say my most college football moment of the entire week is a team with 648 yards of offense and a team that literally from the moment the game started, if you had 7.5, was covering the entire game, finding a way to not cover. There was literally one scenario on the entire board in which I would lose that bet, and that was Oklahoma State winning the overtime coin toss, having the game go to a second overtime, that team scoring, then getting the two-point play, and then having Arkansas not score. That is exactly what happened. 4th and 1, they didn't get a yard after getting 648 of the other ones. I think Bill Conley tweeted it out. There's like 5 plays this year that have had 80% impact on the outcome, 3 of which were Arkansas turnovers in this game.
That was a brutal loss for Arkansas.
That was an all-timer. Let's also go to Red Flag of the Week. I think Oregon might be telling us what they are.
It might, and it doesn't feel good because I bought hook, line, and sinker in on this Oregon team. Now, they could figure things out here over the next couple of weeks because their schedule is soft. At Oregon State, at UCLA, home to Michigan State. Then they welcome in the big bad boys of Ohio State. Now, we'll get into this a little bit later on in the show. I mean, the thing is, they might be telling us who they are, but are they going to lose more than one game this year? In the regular season?
I don't know, man. Michigan State's like one of those teams I wouldn't want to play.
Yeah, you get them at home.
Aiden Childs is like the ultimate boomer bust quarterback.
I mean, I know Jonathan Smith has had his success against Oregon 2 years ago. They just kind of ran it down their throat to get that big victory, him being the former Oregon State coach. But, I mean, look, Aiden Childs deserves a ton of credit. He was awesome on the road at Maryland. But
that's a game where he could throw 4 touchdowns, or you could tell me he throws 4 picks. I buy both.
And I do wonder, they made some changes on the line in the second half, Oregon did. Like, are they figuring things out on the offensive line? I don't know. So that's...
I will say, I stayed up all night for that, and I waited until Oregon turned it over, Boise got the ball back, and as soon as Boise scored and took the lead, I knew I was going to get a plus number with Oregon, and I mean, I live bet the hell out of that. Because I live betted at
halftime when it was -1.5, and then back-to-back fumbles by Oregon made me feel like this might not be my night. But they were able to get there ultimately. But yeah, no, Oregon definitely has some questions, no doubt.
What I got right, or let's see with what I got wrong. Apologies to all the South Carolina fans out there. Like Kentucky, y'all are the same team, Just take whoever's not favored in that game. Whoever the underdog is, like, they're the same team. Like, that game was 31-6, but if you looked at, like, the numbers, like, it wasn't like South Carolina just, like, offensively dominated them. Now, where they did dominate them is South Carolina's defensive line's legitimately good, and Kentucky couldn't block them. But all apologies to thinking Kentucky was a solid football team.
Brock Vandergriff, what, 3 of 10?
I think if you combined him with Wimsatt, they were like a combined 3 of 14 for 44 yards. It was horrible.
Nothing like the former Rutgers quarterback having to step in there and thrust into action. That was one of the many annoying results of the weekend because South Carolina immediately jumped off the page to me and I did not bet them as a double-digit underdog and felt like an idiot.
And then what I got right, I felt pretty good that Michigan didn't belong on the field with Texas, and I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I was certainly wrong on that one. What I got right was letdown spots are for real.
Yep.
Penn State, Notre Dame, even Steve Sarkisian coming out this week, he showed his team the end of the Northern Illinois Notre Dame game to tell them, don't let down against UTSA, who is pretty terrible this year.
And I think UTSA might I think maybe Jeff Traylor might have gotten a little too much credit. Maybe we should have given Frank Harris some credit. Frank Harris was a pretty damn good college football
player. Dr. Frank Harris, who was there for a decade. And then when you see a fresh new number by someone's name, yeah, it's time to bet the other side. And that was a – Syracuse almost blew it
so you
against
you like
Tech.
The Noles this week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like it at 6.5. I do have some Memphis – or sorry, I have some Florida State money line in pocket from last week when you and I were texting about a very incorrect number that was posted out there. So I do have some Florida State, but at this price, I probably would not get invested. But, I mean, Georgia Tech, I think, hadn't been ranked since, like, 2015.
Honestly, I would have thought it would have been longer than that.
Well, it was like the end of the positive run of Paul Johnson. It was like early on in the year, and then they lost back-to-back games. I think they went 3-9 in 2015. But I love doing that in college basketball. We saw that happen late in the season. Indiana State got ranked. It was like the first time since Larry Bird had been there that they were in the top 25. They immediately lost as like a 25-point favorite.
There we go. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. Let's talk about that Tyreek Hill video that came out. Also, we got a 49ers running back that might have gotten in trouble for telling the truth. We'll discuss that and more. Also, a little bit more college football talk coming up later on this hour. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's get into the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Jordan Mason.
You just made the list!
Yeah, this is according to my king, Mike Florio. Jordan Mason was asked by Lisa Salters of ESPN following his massive performance of 28 carries, 147 yards, and a score. When he knew he'd be starting, maybe Friday night, Mason said something like that. Now, of course, the issue is everyone that was depending on Christian McCaffrey and their fantasy lineups, whatnot. If you'd bet I don't know, did Christian props, if you bet him and he doesn't play, did they just go off? Are they no bets?
I believe that is the case. If they do not play, you would get refunded. That would be just a void bet. He was listed, I think, also at what people have pointed out, he was listed as questionable.
Correct.
On the final injury report. Kyle Shanahan did say post-game that Jordan Mason was not told that he would be the starting running back on Friday.
I know who I believe.
Jordan Mason.
Yes, I do. Now, I'm also in this camp. I mean, McCaffrey was listed as questionable. Like, it didn't say probable. Now, you can make the argument maybe he should have been doubtful. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I'm just not all that worried about it. I did know, however, that as much as I love Kyle and the Shanny offense, every single report, like anyone that had any type of title was saying, spoke to Kyle Shanny and told me, you know, we didn't really know until today. Didn't know until today. Found out today. It's like, all right, you're working a little too hard here. I felt bad for Jordan Mason also because, you know, clearly they just put a microphone in front of him and he's just saying things and no one had coached him up media-wise.
Yeah.
But I also think that that's also, to me, that's also on the Niners PR team. Like, if you know that this guy's going to be starting as the running back and you know in Kyle Shanahan's offense that he's probably I've got a decent chance of having a decent night, I think maybe I might want to coach him up a little bit.
Yeah, and then he was asked by Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area post-game after the Salters interaction, where obviously that got to the reporters, and his response was, quote, "That question right there is why I'm mad. That's why I really don't like talking to the media, because you say one thing wrong and then, I don't know, just skip that question." So clearly someone went up to Jordan in between post-game interview with Lisa Salters to podium and say, hey, if you, whether or not it's true, which we tend to believe it was true, that Jordan Mason,
by the way, Jordan Mason's second answer didn't really lead me to believe that it wasn't true. And if anything, right, it was like, hey man, like I,
hey man, we're gonna get in trouble if you tell people that.
Yes. Now, I think this is the other question. How big a deal is it?
I don't know. It's not a like a massive deal, but also it's a little bit of a deal. You can't be lying. And like, I guess my question is, if we're believing Jordan Mason that he was told on Friday, and the way Kyle Shanahan tried to spin it was he tried to say that the running backs coach told Mason, be ready, essentially, right? That was his spin on it, because he said that they didn't find out until today, meaning yesterday. It's a little bit of a deal, but I'm not going to go scream and shout.
I think it's a big deal. If he wasn't listed on the injury report, I'm with you. It's a big deal. Even I'm willing listening to an argument for if he was listed as probable, because I don't know, man. Like, it, to me, it seems like highly unlikely that, you know, and McCaffrey, there's a reason why they're being careful with him. Like, it's a calf, and they even did the move of, well, you know, there's also some Achilles injuries, to which my line is always, calf injury to me is always pre-Achilles. So, of course, it's whatnot. But I don't know. I've seen worse. I've seen, like, when, to me, though, this is nowhere near as bad as last year when I don't even think Burrow was listed on the injury report. And Burrow walks in with the cast, and that's the game that he gets knocked out. That one's way worse to me.
I would agree with that, because that's a quarterback.
And he's not, and that, A, that would move the line way more, but B, it's also, he wasn't even listed on the injury report.
Yeah, and your game plan is completely different. And if you're going to make a mockery of the injury report, then just don't have injury reports. I mean, that's the thing that's so hilarious about college football, is that they're, you know, I know, is it the SEC or the Big Ten?
The SEC is going to do it for conference games.
Right. So those are going to be laughable too. Like, coaches all week are like, I don't know. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's not. And then
I don't comment on injuries.
And then Saturday he shows up in street clothes. You're like, what? Come on, man. Like, and then you're trying to find through back channels, you know, the severity of injuries and all of that. But It's a little bit of a deal. Is it, you know, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. And you pointed out, too, he was listed as questionable. Joe Burrow, to your point, was not on the injury report. We weren't even thinking about it. This was an injury that had lingered all throughout the preseason. He had missed, what, 3 or 4 weeks
yeah.
due to this injury?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel. All right, let's go with Bill Belichick.
You just made the list!
All right, I know you're more times than not, you're working during this game, and you're not really a Manning cast guy, but we had Bill Belichick's debut on the Manning cast, and they have some mechanics to work out, but they had some mechanics to work out earlier, and I feel pretty good about it. I think this segment's going to be pretty good. The drive where the Jets had their best offensive drive, where Wilson really took over. Like, the whole time he's just screaming, Wilson, Wilson. And it was hilarious. He'd scream Wilson, and they were throwing him the ball. Wilson, Wilson. He's like, you have to double him. You have to double him. Overall, like, it's one of those ones where it's like, it was a little rough around the edges, but I can see the makings of that working. And then the other interesting aspect of it is, how do you compare it to Tom Brady's debut? And with Brady's debut, I guess the way that I netted out on it was, I thought he just sounded a lot like generic color commentator. Like, you know, if you're someone like me that's been, that watches as much football, like, I can usually identify the guys by the sound of their voice, but like, it didn't really strike me one way or the other. Now, the flip side of that is a very expensive generic color commentator. And what, to me, like, what we'll never know is, like, I don't know, they're paying him $30 million or whatever it is, but like, how much do they think that he's bringing value? And like, they have a much better sense of that than I will ever know. And like, what deals does he close, whatnot? And there's a business aspect of it. But the thing that really struck me is, I think Peyton and Eli played this thing right. Because obviously, if either one of them wanted to go into the booth, the door would have been open for them from any number of networks. But I think it's really, really hard to go from fresh off playing, and I know Brady's had a little bit of time off, to that style of analysis. And what I mean by that style of analysis, that is hardcore broadcasting. And it's a lot harder to do than especially like what you and I do, which even now radio's become more free-flowing and podcasty than ever before. And being able to get in and out and actually doing that style of broadcasting, I think it's really difficult. And where I think the Mannings were smart is, instead of doing that, let's sit in our living rooms and watch football. And like, I think when you bring in Belichick in that situation, I think that makes it a little bit more interesting rather than feeling like it's just a pure broadcast.
My gut told me that no matter what Tom Brady did, it would not go over well with the masses, because he's getting paid what he's getting paid, and he's kind of just been out there.
And I also think it didn't help that he replaced Olsen. And,
well, actually just about to say
sorry.
That. And no. And like, the fact that he replaced Greg Olsen, who's pretty darn good, and proved it, and called a Super Bowl, and was getting better. And it's like one of those things where, I know Troy Aikman is a Hall of Famer, but being the best ever at football doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be awesome in the booth. And I don't know. Tom Brady, the reason he became the greatest of all time was his preparation and all of that. And I'm not saying he's going to mail it in, but the dude's worth so much money. Like, is he going to be grinding the tape every week? I don't know. I have my questions. And to your point about Peyton and Eli, like, Peyton had it right. He's like, I don't want to travel every week.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go do what I do, hang out with my family, you know. And that's what I honestly thought, it would never happen. I really thought Tom Brady would not call a game for Fox.
Well, and then, like, he started to get the ownership questions and whatnot. I definitely thought you're right. I'll say this, though. I think there were two big problems with the broadcast. One, I think he was almost overprepared, because he kept trying to do like these lists and whatnot, showing you like, look, this is how hard I studied. And he always struck me as
good student. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know like, what his grades were, but he strikes me as the guy that, like you said, over-prepares. And I think that was a big problem. And then the other problem was whether or not he had billed himself as this, it was getting promoted as Tom Brady's style is going to be Mr. Tell It Like It Is. And Deshaun Watson was so horrible on Sunday, and you kept thinking, all right, he's going to like tell us like just how bad he is, and he didn't really do that. I think that's what left a lot of people being like, well, then what are we doing here? Like if you have the greatest quarterback of all time in the booth, like shouldn't he be telling you the quarterback perspective? Like maybe he gives us a different angle, and here's why Deshaun wasn't that bad. But my belief is that he knew Deshaun was bad because everyone knows Deshaun is bad, and he just didn't really want to go into it.
Deshaun's turn is one of the most, and I said earlier in the show, I'm not, you know, worst ever, best ever guy, but it is one of the most drastic 180s we've seen. It starts with the off-field stuff where he was at Clemson, Dabo loves him, goes to Houston, seems like a model citizen, is unbelievable. The 2020 season is one of the best we've ever seen. And now you've got all the off-field stuff where he looks like a complete and utter ass, and then he's just terrible. Like, he is legitimately bad at playing football right now. It is wild. And the Cleveland Browns are on the hook for, what, $230 million? Oh, by the way, the irony was that Baker Mayfield went out and threw, what, four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns, didn't really miss a throw.
But no, I was Commander's counting. Defense might be pretty
that
bad,
was,
too.
I'm a ride-or-die Baker guy, but I did even on Monday, like, I was very clear saying, like, I think a lot of guys would have had good days against the Commander's defense.
Yeah, it is not a.
I think though the only thing I'd push back a little bit, he was good in 2020, but defenses sucked in 2020. I always thought he was, when you watched him more than not, he put up a lot of empty numbers, and I just never bought into he was. I did not think the world should have stopped for Deshaun Watson. And then I think what's also happened is the off-the-field stuff has happened. Now he's taken, you know, criticism that he's probably never taken in his entire life. And you can tell he's just not built for it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like he's going to get out of this hole.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like one of my best friends in the world is a big Browns fan. And he's like, he used the analogy, he goes, we're Joe Biden him. Like, he's like, we're hiding him. We're not letting him play in any preseason games. Like, he's not taking a lot of live reps. He's like, I think what's happening is they're going to let him play. He's going to be terrible. And then they're going to try to figure out a way to move on. But there's, I don't know how you do. It's $170 million left on the books.
I mean, it's one of the worst trades and one of the worst contracts of all time, separately. Worst trade, period. Worst contracts, period, of all time.
I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, we're going through the whole Bryce Young thing right now, and then whatever Caleb Williams becomes, I still think that the Deshaun Watson trade's worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some college football. Let's get into the trust tree, teams that we like. Let's talk also some early lines. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Of course, through 2 weeks of college football.
We were at the Olive Garden.
Yes, of course. Lovely. It was lovely. I found myself wondering what kind of panties was she wearing? Chances are it was probably just standard cotton, but then I started thinking, what if? I don't know if I got that right. I've only seen that movie 8,000 times.
What? I thought we were in the trust tree.
Yeah.
We are.
Isn't that, it's Ari's wife too, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is. Mrs. Ari.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Ari. Shout out Doug Ellen.
Doug Ellen, yeah,
who Tim got on this show. That was a great segment. All right, who do you trust? And I think this is an interesting exercise because there's a few teams that I trust that have proven it on the field, and then there's a couple that eye test is telling me. And so you tell me yes or no if you're with me.
Okay.
All right, first and foremost, Georgia.
Yes.
Okay. I get it. I ain't played nobody, Paul. I still trust Ohio State.
No. Here's the thing, because I heard, I think it was the Cover 3 guys talking about this.
All right, go for it.
They were more defending, I think, Clemson in the rankings. They beat the snot out of Clemson. And Clemson turned around and beat Appalachian State, who is believed to be one of the best G5 programs, by 46 and led 56-10 at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, Georgia's played somebody. Georgia might have...
Oh, I was saying Ohio State ain't played nobody.
Oh, my bad. Oh,
no.
My bad.
I think it's still possible Clemson wins the ACC.
I do, too. Like, preseason, I was like, I wasn't in on Florida State. I was hesitant on Miami. And I was like, I guess I'll just pay Clemson because it felt like they were a little down. Like, I still think, I think Clemson, they don't play each other in the regular season. So the ACC championship could be
undefeated. Yeah.
Could be a banger.
Yeah. No, I mean, it could be undefeated Miami versus one loss Clemson. I also think Louisville's pretty good. You know, it's still kind of TBD. No, I was saying ain't played nobody is Ohio State. Even though they ain't played nobody, and I still think Will Howard I still trust them.
I think I trust them because I don't think Will Howard's going to mess things up. He's not dynamic. If they had Cam Ward, I think they win the national championship. But they have so many weapons everywhere, and Jeremiah Smith is just going to keep getting better. If you don't know the name, you will. He is going to be maybe a top three pick in 3 years, maybe the number one overall pick. This dude is a freak of nature and is going to, when they start playing teams, when they go out to Autzen, he's going to make some wow plays. I mean, they've got, here's this about Ohio State. We're going to learn who they are in October. How about this stretch? Home to Iowa. Iowa has issues scoring points, but still, it's a decent defense. At Oregon, home to Nebraska, and then November 2nd at Penn State. That's as challenging of a stretch as you're going to get in the Big Ten.
No, I am with you. I mean, to me, like, that's... But at this point, it's like, I still trust the roster, and they, you know, they farted around with Akron for a little bit, but like last week they did not at all. They just decimated teams. I trust Texas. Like, I don't know. Do I think that Texas would be favored against either of those two teams? No, but I think they've proven to me that the doubts that I may have had, like, and can they do this again?
I trust Texas. After you know, they've got issues at the running back position, but they've got really good wide receivers. And I didn't trust them coming in the year. I trusted Oregon, who I'm sure we'll get to momentarily. But I trust Texas. That performance, and yes, Michigan may not be very good, and that's a fair critique to that, but I think I trust this Texas team. That performance on Saturday was a dominant, dominant performance.
All right. I trust USC.
Define what...
Playoff team. Here's why I trust them. I trust Lincoln Riley on offense, and I think the defense... I know Utah State's a mess. Like, I fully am aware of that. They still shut him out, and the defense, to me, clearly looks improved. And like, is that going to be like a household name defense? No, but that's not a defense that's going to... This, to me, is like Lincoln Riley's most complete team.
I need to see it a little bit more, but I'm trending that way. They don't have, like, wow, in-your-face superstars at wide receiver. Zachariah Branch could be that guy. But Miller Moss looks the part, and D'Anton Lynn has gotten his flowers already and will continue to get his flowers. I mean, that dude has this defense flying around. They look sure tackling. And, you know, if they go to the Big House off a bye next week and beat Michigan, which they'll be favored to do, yeah, game on. I mean, they play Nebraska at home in November. They play Penn State at home, which will be a big challenge. They play Notre Dame at home. But, I mean, you get what? With an LSU win, 10-2, you're probably in the playoffs. So I could see it. And I think, you know, with that schedule in the Big Ten, if you can go beat Michigan, can you beat Penn State at home, then you might be playing for the Big Ten championship.
I mean, to me, like,
it's... no Oregon or Ohio State on the schedule.
And to me, like, that's a huge part of it. All right. I know the lesson of the boy that cried wolf is, you know, tell the truth. There's also a lesson for the audience. Sometimes the boy that cried wolf is actually telling the truth. We only have one data point, and I don't know really what it means one way or the other, because maybe Florida's just a mess. I kind of think Mario is telling the truth this time. I think this roster is actually good. I think he's got the quarterback. I'm ready to buy in on Miami.
I can't get there yet.
They were so physical.
They were. They've got really good offensive line play, and they shouldn't be challenged realistically. Maybe Virginia Tech, September 27th at home. They've got Louisville on the road, which could be a tricky spot, but they got a bye week prior to that. Look, I'll just say this. They'll be a favorite in every game the rest of the way out, because Florida State's a dumpster fire. At Louisville could be tricky, but I'm not there yet, and that might just be stubbornness by me.
No, I mean, I do think that's the appropriate thing. I could also be the guy falling for the boy that cried wolf again.
If this team, like, and I look, I said it about Notre Dame. I said if Notre Dame wins 9 games, it's an absolute disaster. And it certainly feels like that's going to be the likely outcome with Notre Dame this year after losing to Northern Illinois. If this team, looking at the schedule now that they avoided, you know, the loss and it looks so good against Florida, no Clemson on this schedule, if they don't go 11-1 at worst, it's a bit of a disaster. So prove it to me. And I'll say this, like, if they go 11-1, let's say they lose at Louisville,
all right,
and then they lose to Miami, lose to Clemson, that's still a good season. Like, I feel like
it's the best season they've had in how long?
Right. We changed the goalposts on things. Like, I will say on this show, no doubt, if they go 11-1 and lose to Clemson, they're in the playoff. And that's a really good season for Miami. Miami has not been the U, throw them up. I mean, they had that one season. What was it, 2017?
It was Mark Richt's first year, I think.
And they beat Notre Dame on an electric night down there in November. And then I think the following week, letdown spot. I want to say they lost to Pitt or something weird like that. And they went to the Orange Bowl and got destroyed.
Yeah, by Wisconsin. I remember which side I had there.
If they get to double digit wins, that's a good season that exceeded expectations from the odds maker's standpoint. So I'm not there yet, but I would say I'm trending more that way after, you know, can't really take too much away from a win over FAMU, and they play Ball State this weekend. South Florida game could be interesting because,
yeah.
You know, let's be honest, Alabama did not win 42-16.
Most deceiving score, final score of the year.
They were losing going in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. They were losing. I think South Florida had the ball with a chance to take the lead. I can't remember if they were ever losing.
I can't remember either.
All right, the other team I'm putting up here, and God, I can't believe I'm saying this either. I kind of trust Tennessee.
I do. I'm in. I was a Nico Stan preseason, and I don't want to say blown away is the right way, but man, I don't know how you didn't come away.
There's something about him, man.
It's not just him. Like, Dylan Sampson is a dude. They've got wide receivers. Squirrel White, Chris Brazel. They've got Brew McCoy only caught one pass against NC State. But they got defensive players too, man. Like, I don't know. NC State might not be good. But it doesn't take away the fact that they went in there and just pulverized that NC State team. Now, the pick six kind of was the game changer. But I trust Tennessee. I look at their schedule, and they've got a primetime game on ABC next week. After they dispose of Kent State this weekend, they'll be 3-0. Game day will more than likely be in Norman. And that's a massive shot. I mean, for Tennessee, though, you still have on the schedule Bama and Georgia. Like, you kind of have to beat Oklahoma if you want to make it to the playoff.
All right, anyone else you want to add before we get out of here?
I mean, clearly, I trust Notre Dame. Very. Always can believe in those guys. No, and that's saying something because I don't trust Oregon right now.
No, I think that's right. All right, my man. Well, I'll holler at you Friday.
All right, see you, brother.
That, of course, is Tim Murray for today's Tell Your Story. One of the all-timers. Last night on Tiger Talk, Hugh Freeze says that the offensive coaching staff made one bad call last week. Everything else was on the players. One bad offensive call. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's statistically impossible. But nonetheless, he is the all-time Don't Tell These Story. Tell Your Story. My thanks to Tim for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.